You hear all these kids this morning, it's incredible. I'm watching them at the back now. That's not a child screaming, getting hurt. That's a child enjoying knocking over the tumblers that Kirsty is piling up for. I just think it was amazing watching her, you know, the children at the back doing all their bit and enjoying themselves. And I just want to also say that for those who don't realize, there was a lot of people there helping out and getting frantic as they were trying to do that. So it's just to say thank you very much to everyone, to the children, but also to the helpers. In fact, I have that on my talk this morning, which I'll mention in a moment, just about the children's participation here. But I'll pray and ask for God's blessing on his word. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this Resurrection Sunday morning that we can praise and worship you like this, that we can bless you, that we can hear the children, Lord God, singing and enjoying the crack, Lord God, and seeing their participation this morning, Lord, is just so wonderful. And Father, how wonderful it is that all of this happens because of your great love for us. It's your love, Lord God, that brought us to a place, Lord God, where we could know you. And that was possible because of Jesus. And we thank you that Jesus went to the cross and died to pay the price for our sin so that we could approach you, a holy God, without fear of punishment. Thank you that he who knew no sin bore our sin in his body on the tree, paying the penalty, Lord, that we could never pay, so that we, Lord God, would be free. Thank you, Lord. This morning we ask that you would bless your word to us and help us to hear, Lord, what your Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, you know, but I thought it was great this morning to see the children participating in the way that they were. Now, what we originally thought was going to happen was we thought there was going to be a couple of wee bits of plywood or balsa wood or whatever you call it, not really, really light wood, and we're just going to stick two bits together with a nail and make a cross. But Keith's friends decided that they were going to make the cross for us. And when they got it, we struggled to get it in. And we thought, how are the kids ever going to carry this thing? It's a ton weight. So that's why the adults were bringing it up with them. But let me just explain what's happening here. For those who are listening on the podcast, there's a giant cross at the front of the church. And the children brought it in, identifying that they believe that Jesus was crucified. And then at the end, they all made their own little crosses with their names and a little message saying, thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins, and thank you for dying for me. And they all attached their simple crosses to the big cross, thus identifying with the death of Jesus and with the love of Jesus. And to see them carry that cross in this morning and to put it in place and to put their names in place and to hear the readings by the children and the prayer by Jessica, it reminds me of the words of Jesus when he said, unless we become as little children, and that means have simple childlike faith, unless we become as little children, we shall never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I thought, Lord, give me that childlike faith. Anyway, Resurrection Sunday, and that's for me. Resurrection Sunday, for me, is the greatest day in the Christian calendar. I was mentioning last week, I think it was at the early morning prayer meeting, the reason that I call it Resurrection Sunday is because Easter Sunday, or Easter, stems from an old Germanic goddess associated with springtime. And I, as a Christian, believe that there only is one God, and that is the God that we serve. And I don't like to give any credence to it. At Easter, I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. Now, yeah, that other people can call it what they like, but that's what I choose to call it. Because I believe that there is no other God except our God. I believe what the Bible teaches about our God. However, having said that, I actually read a BBC news report this week. It was a survey that was commissioned by an organization called ComRes, and you can go on to Google and read it for yourself. C-O-M-R-E-S, ComRes, carried out this survey, which said, just one thing it said was, one quarter of all Christians in Great Britain do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Isn't that incredible? One quarter of all Christians do not, in Great Britain, do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, how ridiculous is that? You see, if people don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, how can they actually call themselves Christians? You see, I believe the resurrection of Jesus is a primary, fundamental doctrine, and therefore essential that a person believes in it, or they cannot be a Christian. Now, I'm saying that's my view. You can go and look at the Bible yourself and look at all of the arguments and come up with your own answers. But I believe that it is a primary, fundamental doctrine. And any person who says they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, I doubt very much that they are a Christian. In fact, even at our baptism services, a person is asked, "Do you confess Jesus Christ is Lord? And do you believe in your heart that God has raised him again from the dead?" And without answering yes to that question, those questions that Dave asks, if they don't answer yes, they won't be getting baptized. See, not believing in the resurrection of Jesus is as ridiculous as saying, "I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in sin. I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in repentance. I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in salvation." Now, isn't that ridiculous? To say, how could you be a Christian and not believe in sin? How could you be a Christian and not believe in repentance? How could you be a Christian and not believe in salvation? So why is it any less ridiculous when people say, "I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the resurrection"? You know, the Apostle Paul said of the resurrection of Jesus, "If Jesus is not raised from the dead, then we who hope in him for resurrection are to be most pitied. But thanks be to God," the Apostle Paul says, "thanks be to God, Jesus is risen from the dead." In the readings by the children, we heard how when Jesus died, his body was taken from the cross and carried to a nearby tomb where he was laid. His friends and his disciples thought, as was read, that they would never see him again. Jesus was dead. Then early in the morning of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb but did not find the body of Jesus. And in Luke's account, Mary and other women were told, went to the tomb where an angel told them Jesus had risen from the dead. But I want to read this morning from John's Gospel, to read something of his account. And it's in John chapter 20, and I'm reading from verse 11. But Mary, this is Mary Magdalene, "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Teacher.' And Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." So imagine the situation. They've already been through the roller coaster of emotion of watching Jesus being beaten and then being crucified and dying. They even watched Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea taking his body down and placing it in the tomb. And they thought, as the reading said, they thought that they would never see Jesus again. Their Savior was dead. Imagine heartbroken Mary arriving at the tomb to anoint the Lord's body, but not finding him there. And in her grief and in her heartache, she again looks into the empty tomb. But this time she sees two angels who ask her why she's weeping. "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." She then sees a man who also asks why she's weeping. And thinking he's the gardener, Mary says, "If you have taken him, tell me where, and I will take him away." And then she heard that familiar, beautiful voice say her name, Mary. And she knew it was Jesus, her Lord. She went as directed by Jesus and told the other disciples. And later that day, Jesus came and stood in their midst, showing them his hands and his side. And they had to be clear that he wasn't a ghost. And another version says they thought he was a ghost. He ate some food to show that he wasn't a ghost. And then you get the biggest understatement of all in the Bible. Then the disciples were glad when they saw Jesus. I mean, what an understatement. Their Lord had been crucified and dead. He had been laid in a tomb, and lo and behold, he had appeared alive in front of them, and we get this understatement, and they were glad. As I always say, they should have been doing cartwheels up and down Jerusalem, declaring that Jesus is alive. How wonderful. The Lord whom they had witnessed being arrested, crucified, dying, and his body laid in a tomb, was alive. One quarter of Christians in Great Britain do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And so the question that I want to ask you this morning is, do you believe this? Do you believe Jesus is risen from the dead? You see, as a Christian, it's expected that we would believe the Word of God. And in the four Gospels, we have accounts of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And not only that, but we have many, many prophecies from the Old Testament telling us what would happen, telling us how it would happen, telling us this is all going to unfold in the future, all about Jesus. In fact, we have many, many other eyewitness accounts and teachings on this truth in the New Testament. How anyone professes to be a Christian, how anyone who says they're a Christian can say they don't believe in the resurrection absolutely amazes me. Our Sunday morning series is called Approaching a Holy God. And we've shown how it has always been in the loving heart of God to allow people to approach him. We look way back into the Garden of Eden, and in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve enjoyed an intimate personal relationship with the Lord as he walked with them in the garden. But because of their disobedience, sin entered in and ruined that relationship. Sin separates people from God, because God cannot tolerate sin. In fact, God's law demands that the penalty for sin be fully paid, and that penalty is death. Because we are all born of Adam and Eve, we are all born in sin, and naturally we rebel against God and his ways. No one is innocent. There is none who have not sinned, and all deserve death. That is what the Word of God teaches. And as Christians, we are supposed to believe what the Word of God says. No one is innocent, not Christian or unChristian or unbeliever, whatever term you choose to use. No one on the face of this planet is innocent. There is none who have not sinned, and therefore the penalty for sin is death. So all deserve to die. However, because God so loved us, He initiated a rescue plan to allow people to approach Him again without fear of punishment. And for us to be able to approach God, He would first approach us and open the way for us to approach Him. And that is exactly why Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world to die. He came not only to open the way to God, He came to be the only way to God. By His death, Jesus paid the price for our sin, our disobedience, and our rebellion against God. And in God's incredible rescue plan recorded for us in His Word, there is another event linked to the death of Jesus that took place, which is very often overlooked. In fact, three of the Gospels record it with just one simple verse. And it says this: "Then the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Strange verse. "Then the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." The veil separated the most holy place in the temple from the rest of the temple and from the rest of the worshippers of God. And only the high priest of Israel, once a year, could enter behind the veil and offer the blood of the sacrifice for the sins of Israel. It was in this place, behind the veil, that God's presence dwelt. And if the high priest did not follow exactly God's order for entering the most holy place, he would be killed. Remember, Jesus came to open the way to God so all sinners could approach God without fear. And so when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, thus demonstrating that by His sacrifice, the way to God was now open for all who want to approach God. Jesus didn't just open the way to God. Jesus became the only way to God. There is no other way. And now anyone who wants an intimate relationship with God, who wants forgiveness of sins, and wants to know God as their Father, can and must come through Jesus. There is no other way. No one, God's Word says, no one is innocent. It doesn't matter how wicked you know you are. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. It doesn't matter if you say to yourself, "I am not a bad person. I haven't done anybody any wrong." God's Word is clear. No one is innocent. There is no one without sin. And sin separates people from God. And so God has said, if you want to know me, if you want to experience forgiveness for sin, if you want to enjoy everlasting life now and in the future, you must come to me by the only way that I have ordained. You must approach me through Jesus, my Son, because there is no other way. That is what God's Word teaches. That is what God Himself says. But let me remind you again. 1/4 of Christians in Great Britain don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is in this Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation. It is there time and time and time again. God has told us this would happen. God has said this is truth. And yet so many do not believe in the resurrection. Well, do you? Do you also believe that the only way to approach God is by the way that He has ordained? And that is through Jesus. Not through the Virgin Mary, not through saints, not through taking indulgences, not through whipping yourself and beating yourself up and making yourself humble so that you're more acceptable to God, not by getting confirmed in a church, not by being baptized, not by being able to quote the Bible in the King James language. There is no other way for a person to come to God except through Jesus. Do you believe this? Without a belief in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, how will people truly understand there is no other way to God except through Jesus? If people don't believe in the resurrection, what they're saying is Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead. And if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, Paul is saying, Taddy Gordon, you are a liar. And you are making God out to be a liar, because you're telling people that there is a resurrection. You're telling people that Jesus has been raised from the dead. But if in fact He hasn't been raised from the dead, you're a liar and you're deceiving these people. But God's word says Jesus is raised from the dead. If people do not believe that, how can they call themselves Christians? Jesus is alive and is seated at God's right hand. The veil is torn in two, and access to God is available for all who believe. Do you believe this morning? Our God's rescue plan means that there is hope for all who trust in the risen Jesus. And so this morning, Christian, I hope, if you call yourself a Christian this morning, I hope that you're one of those Christians who actually believes what God's word says. Because see, if you are, then you know without any doubt that Jesus is risen from the dead. And you know that you have His promise that He will raise you up to everlasting life on the last day. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, or you're listening to the podcast and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me explain again. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, or that He is the only way to God, then God's word says your sin still separates you from God. You are under the curse of sin. The wrath of God is above your head and can come down upon you at any moment. You are under condemnation. You're going to die and you're going to go to hell. That is what God's word says. Your sin still separates you from God. Unless you have, like those little children that carried that cross in and that put their crosses with their names on it and their wee thank you messages on this cross, unless you have childlike faith like that and come to God through Jesus, you will die in your sin, and God's rescue plan cannot help you. Jesus is the only way to God. Without Him, there is no hope. God's word says that He commands all people everywhere to repent. That means turn around from living your life your way. Turn around from how you think things should be and turn to God and come to Him believing that His Son died to pay the price for your sin, so that your sin, which currently separates you from God, can be forgiven and you will be received with God's arms wide open to receive you into His kingdom and into His family. Repent, the Bible says. Turn around and believe the word of God today. 1/4 of all Christians in Great Britain, Christians, do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Well, what about the Christians in Shiloh Christian Fellowship? What about the unbelievers this morning in Shiloh Christian Fellowship? What about the unbelievers and the people listening to the podcasts through the website? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Your eternal destiny rests on whatever answer you give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We want to thank you for the children's participation this morning as they carried the cross in, Lord God, and placed it on its stand, as they put their own little crosses with their names and their thank you messages, Lord God, as they attached them to the cross, thus with that childlike faith identifying with Jesus. So we ask, Lord, that you would give us all childlike faith to believe your word. Thank you that your son Jesus came into this world to die so that we could live, so that he would not only open the way to you, but that he would be the only way to you. And thank you that the wonderful good news of your son is this: there is forgiveness with God for all who will believe in Jesus Christ, your son.